Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. You truly are beautiful. You are our God, and you are altogether lovely. And we do love you. We thank you that we can gather right now to look into your word. Lord, we want to hear from you this morning, directly from your word. I pray that you would help me to preach truth. Lord, to take those thoughts away that just aren't truth, to open our eyes and hearts, that we would hear from you and be changed. So I ask that you bless your name this morning. In Christ's precious name, amen. Please have a seat. As Ed said, that Mike, I guess he's got a nasty cough and his vocal cords are inflamed and he can't speak, and that's why he's not here this morning. And that's the bad news. The good news is we have an insurance policy on Mike. And if he can't speak for 6 months, we immediately can complete phase two of the building project. So the real question is, how do we pray for Mike? Now, I'm just kidding about the insurance policy. And let's pray for Mike that the Lord would heal him and he'll be back here next week. In a few days, we are going to celebrate one of my favorite holidays, Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving, when I think of Thanksgiving, it is food. Family, I'll say family, then food, and then football. And football has now become even more exciting. I think the Redskins are poised for a playoff run, and so it is more exciting. Do I get an amen? Amen. You know, at Thanksgiving time, there are lots of traditions, and if I were to go around and ask you what you do during Thanksgiving time, we would have different traditions in different families. For some of us, it's a tradition of who cuts the turkey. For some of us, a tradition is what time do we eat. For others, it's what's on the menu. And for some families, we go around and we share what we're most thankful for. Just a lot of traditions. And one of my traditions, when I grew up, I was raised, Thanksgiving Day was, we would eat in the early afternoon, and after we pigged out, we would all retire into the family room and watch football. And I'm kicking back, and basically all the men would go into the family room, and the boys, and we'd watch football. And come early evening, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the evening, my mom would go back into the kitchen and prepare round two. And round two was always turkey and then dressing. And by the way, my family, I was raised, we say dressing. Donna's family, they say stuffing. So I want to take a quick poll real quick. Who here says stuffing? Wow. All right, who here says dressing? All right, you got your hands up? Who says dress? All right, I think you had the proper upbringing. All right. But our tradition, in the early evening, my mom would go into the kitchen and she'd make these sandwiches. And it would be turkey, dressing, mayo, and salt and pepper. And she would come out and bring those to us on a plate. And we'd have round two. And in my early married days, I thought, this is a good tradition to continue on. And so I remember in the early days, I'm sitting there with Donna, and we're kicking back on the couch, and I would gently and lovingly say to Donna, you know what my mom used to do? She'd go in and make these turkey and dressing sandwiches, and Donna would gently and lovingly say to me, and she'd remind me of our wedding day, and she'd say, Tony, you took me to be your wife, not your mother. And so sometimes tradition changes. And not all change is good. Not all change is good. But as Thanksgiving approaches, I want to challenge us to examine what is our real source for our thankfulness. What is it that is our ultimate or our fundamental basis for being thankful? And if you're anything like me, I find myself often, too often, in a place where my thankfulness, and I would even say my joy, is directly tied into my circumstances. And I'll give you an example. True confession. It was the first game of the season, Redskins game. First game of the season. Here I am, my boys and I, we're watching the Redskins Giants. And I'm a Redskin fan. And I'm watching the Redskins lose. And I'm watching them make a couple bad plays. Nobody's perfect, right? I'm sitting here, not only was I disappointed, but I was literally upset. And I was even saying things that I should not have been saying. It's a true confession. And not only was I upset, I had no joy in my life at that time. And I'm watching this game, and I'm saying, this is ridiculous, Tony, that you're going to let a Redskin game affect me like this. And the Lord dealt with me right then and there. He really did. And I sit here and I say, and I praise him, because it would have been a long season had and I'm serious. He changed my perspective. But anyway, on a more serious note, as it relates to circumstances, there are some of us right here today that have had probably the roughest year we've ever had. And there are some of us here today that have just had a rough week. And there are some of us here today that life this past year has been steady. It's been smooth. It's good. There are no major ups, no major downs. It's been a steady year. And there are some of us here today that this year, we've seen some highs. Things are coming together. The Lord is blessing us with some neat circumstances, and we're on a high. What I want to do this morning is I want to take a look at a few truths in Scripture that will enable us. If these truths are the basis for our thankfulness, they will enable us to experience thankfulness, joy, gladness, regardless of the circumstances. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms 100. Psalm 100. It's a short psalm. We're going to look at that this morning. Psalm 100. There's a group of us who just formed a shepherd group. So I'm in this shepherd group. And actually, this past week was our first time getting together. And I'm just excited about connecting with these brothers and sisters in this group. And one of the things that we do in our group is when we have our time looking at the Word, one of the questions that we ask is this when we're looking at the Word. What does this text tell us about God? What does this text tell us about God? And I think that's a great question to ask whenever, if I'm having my quiet time or whenever. What does this tell me about God? And we identify with Paul, Apostle Paul, saying, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know the power of your resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of your suffering. I want to know you, Lord. And I sit here and we go through a text and it's, Lord, I want to know you more. Show me yourself. Show me something about you, Lord. I want to know you. Show me something when I'm reading a text of scripture. And it was neat that here we are last week. We meet our first meeting, and it's neat how the Lord uses each other. And we read this a text, and that was the question. That was one of the questions. What's this tell us about the Lord? And it was neat how different people, God revealed himself in different ways, truths about him in different ways to different people. Somebody said, oh, you know, I see this truth about God. And it was a biblically supported truth. And another, I saw this, and here I had read this text, not this one, this text, a number of times prior to our meeting. And I never saw these things. And here God, somebody said, I see this, and oh, I see this about God. And it was just an encouragement to me and a reminder to me of how God uses relationships to show me who he is and to draw me closer to him. And I want to make a plug for shepherd groups. If you're not in a shepherd group, get in a shepherd group. God will use these relationships to impact you and to reveal himself to you and to draw you closer to him. So if you're not in a shepherd group, get in a shepherd group. And in your bulletin, you don't need to turn there, but the middle section of your bulletin, it says adult shepherd groups. It has my email address, has the website. Fire me an email. Go right to the website, and I will help you find a shepherd group that you click with, that is a good fit. So I encourage you, get in a shepherd group. Anyway, Psalm 100. Let's read Psalm 100. The writer starts, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Real short psalm, and it says a lot. Verse 1 and 2. When I read, I like to just put myself into the text and the Lord speaking to me. But verse 1 and 2, this is what the Lord's saying. This is what the Lord says to me. This is what he says to us. Tony, verse 1. Tony, I want you to shout joyfully to me. Serve me with gladness, Tony. Come before me, Tony, with joyful singing. And you know what he doesn't say here? He doesn't say this. Tony, I want you to shout joyfully to me. I want you to serve me with gladness. I want you to come to me with joyful singing when things are going well. When all is well on the home front, when all is well on the work front. He doesn't say that. He says, hey, Tony, shout joyfully to me. Come to me, serve me with gladness. Come to me with joyful singing. And the Lord's not talking about just lip service. He's talking about my heart, to truly be joyful in my heart, to truly come and shout and sing joyfully to him, to truly have gladness in my heart, not just lip service, but to come and serve him with gladness. And I sit here and I say to the Lord, I say, is that really possible, Lord? Is this really possible when somebody I love is laying in the hospital? Is it really possible, Lord? How can I shout joyfully to you when I'm laying in the hospital? I've just been rushed to the hospital. Lord, is it really possible to serve you with gladness, true gladness in my heart, when I've just lost my job? If so, tell me, how can I serve you with gladness when I just lost my job? Lord, is it really possible to sing joyfully to you when this person I love, my relationship with them is non-existent? Is it really possible, Lord? Tell me how. And the Lord says, yes, it's possible. And this is how, Tony. And look at verse 3. You want to know how, Tony? I do, Lord. This is how. Know that I am God. You want to know how you can come to me with joy and with gladness and singing my praises? Yes, Lord. Know that I am God. And all that entails. Know that I am God, that I am sovereign, Tony, that I have everything under my control. Everything's in my hands. Know that I am God. Know that I'm God, Tony, that I am the omnipotent one. I'm the all-powerful one. There is nothing too difficult for me. Know that I am God, Tony. You want to know how you can come, Tony, with gladness and joy? Know that I'm the omniscient one. I know everything. I know the end from the beginning. Know that I am God, Tony. That's how you can come to me with joy and gladness, regardless of the circumstance. And then I was going through this a few days ago, I thought, all right, does that really work? Is that really true? Is that really true, Lord, that regardless of the circumstance, that knowing that you are God and what that entails can change my heart? And I thought, all right, who in Scripture, apart from Jesus, went through what most of us would probably say was the worst circumstances anybody could face, that we wouldn't want anybody to go through? Who in Scripture, apart from the Lord, was just hammered with circumstances? Who? Job, right? Job. We know that, right? Job. And I sit here and say, well, is that true for Job? Right? Is that true, Lord? No, know that I'm God. Was that true for Job? And Job, you know the story with Job, right? Job, in one day, Job, who was a wealthy, wealthy man, in one day, four separate incidents take place in one day. All of us, and over here, these Sabians attack, they kill livestock, they kill his servants. One servant escapes. Over here, boom, fire from God, whatever that means, fire from God comes down, kills livestock, kills servants. One of the servants escape. Over here, the Chaldeans attack and they take the livestock, they kill the servants. One of the servants escape. And then the last thing, wind. All 10 of his kids are eating in the same house, or they're eating, and wind comes in and knocks the house down, kills all 10 of his children. In one day, boom, 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 boom. And then Job, 42 chapters in Job. That happens in chapter 1. And then we read over 42 chapters how Job his world was rocked, and he's grieving, and he's suffering, and he is crying out to God and saying, why, God? Tell me why. This is not fair. I haven't done anything to deserve. Why? And I think Job even fell into depression. And what was it? What was it that ministered to Job? What was it that took Job and took him from where he was and changed his heart and got him back and got him out of that despair? What was it? You want to know what it was? This is what it was. Job, know that I am God. That's what. Turn right before Psalms. Turn is Job. Go to Job chapter, the end, 42. Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42, the last chapter. What was it that ministered to Job? What was it that delivered him and impacted his heart? Verse 1 of chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things. I know that you are the Almighty One. And I know that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. I know that you are sovereign. You have all things under your control. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. And Job even comes to an understanding that he doesn't know, but God is the all-knowing one. God knows. And look at verse 5. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I retract, I change, I repent in dust and ashes. What was it that brought Job out of his, changed his heart? You know what? Job wanted to know the whys. Why has this happened? And he never got the answers. God never told him why. And actually, I think if God told him why in this confrontation that God had with Satan, I don't even know if that would have satisfied Job's heart. But God never tells Job why all of this happened. Never. Job didn't know. I think maybe when he goes to glory, he finds out. Maybe if he's reading scripture, he finds out what transpired between God and Satan. But Job never got the answers to why. Job's circumstances, when we just read this part in chapter 42, his circumstances had not changed. He was still in the same situation. His circumstances were still the same. All of his 10 children were still gone. He had lost all his livestock. His circumstances hadn't changed. And what was it that ministered to Job? I've heard of you. Now my eyes see you. I know that you are God. Turn back to Psalm 100. Verse 3. Knowing God includes, it is He who has made me. Tony, know that I am God. Lord, how can I come joyfully to you? Know that I'm God. Know that I have made you. Verse 3. Know that you are mine, that we are His people. Know, Tony, that you are the sheep of my pasture. Paul in Philippians chapter 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Philippians chapter 4. And the word rejoice, to express, to have joy, great delight. To express or to have joy or great delight. Paul says this in Philippians 4. Rejoice, have great delight. Where? In the Lord. In the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice, have great delight in the Lord always. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out the 70. Sends out the 70, two by two. And they're preaching, they're healing the sick, they're casting out demons, right? The 70 return to Jesus. And let me read it. 70 returned to Jesus filled with joy. And their joy, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. These 70, they've got joy. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And you know what Jesus says to them? Three verses later. Do not rejoice, do not express or have great delight in this, that the spirits are subject to you. But rejoice in that your names are written in heaven. That's what he says. Have great delight that you are mine. You're mine. And you're mine for eternity. That I belong to you. Psalm 100, verse 4. Hey, Tony, what, Lord? I want you to enter my gates with thanksgiving. Enter my courts with praise. I want you to give thanks to me. Bless my name. And again, how, Lord? How do I bless your name when my child is suffering and when I can't fix the suffering and when the medical world can't do anything about it? How do I enter with thanksgiving? How do I bless your name? How, Lord? How when I get a devastating medical report? How do I bless your name? Tell me how. And then in verse 5, you want to know how, Tony? This is how. Know that I am good. Know that I am good, period. Tony, know this. There's not a time, there's not a moment when I'm not good. I am always good to you. Know this. And know something else, Tony. Know that my loving kindness is everlasting. You want to know how you can enter with thanksgiving and praise, Tony? Know that my love for you never ends. Know this, Tony, that there is not a moment, there's not a second when I don't love you. Tony, be convinced of this. I want you to know this, Tony. Know this, that nothing, absolutely nothing, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing, Tony, will ever be able to separate you from my love, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Know this, Tony. You want to know how you can come to me with praise? Know this. And you want to know what else, Tony? Know that my faithfulness to you is everlasting. Know this, Tony, that there is never a time when I am not faithful to you. Know this, Tony, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Even, Tony, I even want you to know this, even when you are faithless, I remain faithful. You know, our circumstances change. They change. But God doesn't. This week, I get a big bonus in my check. I don't. This week, I get a big bonus in my check. Next week, I lose my job. But God still is in control. He's still good to me. I'm still His, and He still provides for me. You know, this week I get a clean bill of health, and next week, boom, I get devastated with a medical report. But my God still loves me, and He is faithful to me always. He doesn't change. You know, brothers and sisters, we can experience thankfulness, joy, gladness, regardless of the circumstances. I was just reading the other day in Acts, Paul and Silas, Acts 16, Paul and Silas flogged, beaten, thrown in prison, locked up, and Acts 16, and about midnight, they began praying and singing praises to God. Beaten and in prison and praising God. Peter and the apostles were beaten for preaching Christ. In Acts 5, they rejoiced. They were found great delight in that they were worthy, that they were considered worthy to suffer shame for Christ. Job, chapter 1 of Job. Right after all of this happens to Job, you know the first thing Job does? The first thing he does, he gets the report, he's just lost everything, and all 10 of his children have been killed. And the first thing Job does, he falls down to the ground and he worships God. And the first thing he says is this: naked I came out of my mother's womb, naked I will return. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin or did not blame God. You know, circumstances easily get my mind off the truth of God. I'm talking about me. This is me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Circumstances easily get my mind off the truths of God, of who He is and His goodness. And when that happens to me, my thankfulness and the joy of the Lord goes right out the window. And I constantly need to be reminded of who God is and His goodness. And you know, there's nothing wrong with it is normal, it is right, it is good, it is honoring to the Lord to find joy and thankfulness in what God blesses, in the circumstances that God blesses. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that. We sit here and we are joyful and we are thankful that God has waived our tax bill. We should be, and we are praising God for the building, and we are joyful and thankful that God has raised $34,000 in first fruits, and we are praising God that there are 10, 20, 30, 40 families being ministered to. This is good, and we should find joy and have thankfulness for these things. But if these circumstances are the basis, the soul, the fundamental basis of our thankfulness and joy, we miss the boat. We have missed the boat. And God tells us, I am your all in all. Find your joy in me. Know me. Know who I am. Know who I am. And regardless of my circumstances, I can be thankful. I can come to him with joy and gladness. And I constantly need to be hearing this. And I constantly need to be reminded of who my God is. Because I too easily go down this road when my circumstances aren't happening the way I desire. And I trust that this Thanksgiving, you've been reminded of a few things that I need to be reminded of always. And I trust that this Thanksgiving, that we will find much to be thankful for. And I want to wish you all a wonderful and a happy Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you truly are good. You alone are God. You alone are God. And we are yours. We have been bought. We belong to you. And we are the sheep of your pasture. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your love for us, which never changes. You are great and you are wonderful, and we do love you. Bless your name. Help us, remind us this week of these truths about you. Remind us from here till eternity of these truths, these wonderful truths of you. For you are altogether lovely. We love you in Christ's precious name. Amen.